We're live.
Live!
From the Twin Cities with the Bob Sansevier Show. Great guests, interviews, and over 30 years of sports insight.
I'm pretty good at my job.
Here's the host of the show, Bob Sansevier.
Zucker for the Wild. Thought about jumping it in, he'll carry it in. He takes it wide. And fourth down, look at the save, rebound. Score on the wraparound. What a play by Zucker. Now it comes back out to the line. Jarrett Spurgeon has it. Spurgeon sets it across. One timer, score! What a shot! Matt Dumba. He can shoot the puck. And he beats Allen on the power play. 2-0 Wild. Off the board. It's picked up by Grant. He's got an empty net for center ice. He scores! But Kyle Granlund into the open net. Koivu trying to tie it up. Getting some help from Parise. It comes to center ice. Hommanville for the open net. He'll score. Two empty net goals for the Wild. And now they have a 4-2 lead.
Never in doubt. Actually, I told you this earlier. I actually tweeted it too. I knew the Wild were going to win. Second period, the puck glances off Dubnyk's glove, clanks off the pipe, and ricochets away from the net. After that, I said, this team is fated to win this game. And I'll go so far as to say the series. Because things like that, you don't get lucky like that. You know, usually it's the glance off the glove, hits the pipe, and goes in. I actually thought the first time that it did go in. Until we knew right, when they called it or when we saw the replay. But,
yeah.
You're talking fractions of an inch.
Mm-hmm.
That Gophers lost the national championship game like that years ago when it was shot clanked off again and got away. Then you knew it was Harvard's day. It was their night last night for your Minnesota Wild. That was a fun game to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. Saw a lot of great stuff happen.
And Ken Hitchcock, I'm watching, when he took the goalie out, and I'm thinking, Jesus, his team's got a pretty good rush going. Maybe he shouldn't take him out. What'd they do? They scored. Why is it that these teams, and the Wild did it last year too with Colorado, they get the extra man, they get panicky. I mean, it's killing off a penalty, basically.
Yeah.
Why they allowed that goal, they just, I guess the other team is just that they are so determined to get something going at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And such a flurry. But, they did get the empty netter, and they did get another empty netter later to put the game away. And the St. Louis fans, you could hear them starting to turn. Also, after the first empty netter, half the place emptied.
Yeah, they thought they were already done. I thought it was kind of funny. I also thought it was kind of funny that they were booing towards the end of the second period.
Well, because they'd seen this before.
They've seen this before, but there's still a lot of hockey left to go, and it's a seven-game series. How are you giving up on your team that quickly?
Well, they
great
turned
fans.
On them.
They really got their back.
They turned on them. They were one game, a game halfway through, and they turned on them already.
It was like I told a buddy, just be happy you get to lose in the first round of the playoffs and you're not already out.
Well, that makes them, I'm sure that'll make them feel a lot better hearing that. Again, Dubnyk, he had a very good game. I don't know if it was a great game.
Yeah, I call it good.
Yeah. But they, that team is certainly, they did have, remember we'll talk to Tom Reed again today, in less than half an hour. They were playing with some sense of urgency. You're Wild.
They wanted to come out and sock him in the mouth early, and Jason Zucker did it.
And they did.
A beautiful rebound wraparound.
And, all these guys, it's a good bunch of guys, and they, you can tell that they're having fun, but they really were, they were playing, they was good. It was good to watch. It was fun to watch.
And the Blues were being very physical in the first period. I think we kind of wore them down in the second, and then it took a while into the third for them to actually start trying to muscle us around, which is their game.
And I will say this, if you are a big hockey fan, you must have the enormous TV. Because I was watching it on like a 32 or 34 inch TV, it's not nearly big enough. I mean, you have to have the freaking theater size TV to enjoy a hockey game when you're watching, especially in the playoffs. I mean, in a regular season, you're not as watching it as intently.
Mm-hmm.
But it is the one sport that's, it's not your TV sport the way football. Football was, it's better on TV than it is at the game. And basketball, too, to a point. Baseball baseball is certainly better to be out at the ballpark, but hockey, unless you got the big screen, did you ever get over there? Did you go to the X?
No, I didn't. I was here.
Oh, you're here late?
Close to 8:30, and then I was like, I'm getting out of here. I'm go home.
651-989-9105 is our number. 651-989-9105. If you happen to go to the X to watch the games, I'd love to hear what it was like there. I mean, they referenced it. I'm trying to remember, did they, maybe once they went to the X? Did they ever have a camera show it? Because I kept waiting as the game was winding down to see that picture-in-picture of the fans at the X and what they were doing. Or at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub, how much fun. That's what they should have shown, how much fun the Wild fans were having. Fox Sports North,
which
probably have it.
A plenty.
They may not have had it in the budget to do that. Or the picture-in-picture. Well, if you're a Wild fan, you had to be loving this.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you're a Wild fan. You had to be loving it.
Yeah, right when I saw that Zucker goal, I was pretty much jumping up and down, going crazy by myself, feeling kind of weird.
Oh, you watched it alone.
I watched it by myself. My roommates aren't big hockey fans. They're not really big sports
fans. How many roommates you got?
Three.
Were they all home?
Yeah, two of them were sleeping, and another one disappeared for a little bit and actually.
But nobody wanted to watch the game with you?
No.
Yeah, that's the other thing. You're not going to... It's the playoffs. I understand you got other games that you want to get on, but starting a game at 8:30 at night, you're losing kids. You know what I mean? It's getting late. What was it? 11 what when it ended?
I don't actually
I'm trying to remember. It was after 11, though, right? It had to be.
I know after the game, I was too pumped to just go to bed.
Well,
so
I was saying, I
was ready.
Well, I was watching
more hockey. Doubleheader.
What's that?
Should have played a doubleheader. I was ready
for more. You were ready for more. No, I mean, I watched some of the post game. You know, it was a lot of fun to watch. And now they play again tomorrow night. And when they come back Monday night, you see what the Wild are doing? They're having a big party, pregame party outside. Got the big blow-up thing. You know, they got supposed to have happy hour drinks. And, you know, they're going to have concessions and things outside for people.
Is it invite only?
No, I think it's open to anyone.
So I can just go?
Well, yeah, you have to pay for your happy hour booze, but you can go. Also, you know what, though? Tom's our guy. Go to Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. That is. Have you been there?
No, I haven't.
I'm not kidding. When I talk to Tom about his restaurant, it has phenomenal memorabilia in it. And it's all hockey memorabilia, but this stuff, it's not like all stuff from the Wild. It's, you know, it's early North Stars. It's pre-North Stars. Just great NHL hockey memorabilia. And as he said, he's got like 400 pieces. Probably got another couple of hundred that hasn't put up or he rotates in and out. You could spend the whole time there just looking at this great stuff. Hanging from the rafters. He's used most of the wall space for different bits of memorabilia. But if you get a chance, you need to go there and take a look at it.
Well, I hear certain people at this very station always talking about the poutine.
I need
to get that.
Well, I just take I don't do the whole poutine part. I just like the cheese curds, which goes on top of the poutine. Here's great cheese curds there. Phenomenal.
You should send us some right now.
Tom, get right on it. Well, he's in St. Louis. He can't do that. If he could, I'm sure that he would want to do that to help us out. But again, you're Wild 1-0. 1-0 in the best of seven.
Just and where we want to be.
I don't know what's going. Well, I don't want to get carried away here. I don't know that it's going to seven.
Yeah. After seeing that performance and the way we could have gone with a faster lineup rather than use Bergenheim, put in Jordan Schrader or Eric Halla, but we wanted Bergenheim, who has a little bit of speed, but he's really great on the
playoff experience,
and he'll get in there and smash people around too. He's not going to have any of that business.
The one thing about their Wild, they're not shy about slapping you into the boards.
Yeah.
Or mixing it up, which, again, that's playoff hockey. You want to let them know, as you put it, slapping them in the face.
Yeah.
Upside the head. Let them know who's boss. Again, if you want to weigh in on the game, your thoughts, 651-989-9105. Today, AP gets reinstated today. Whoop-dee. Nothing's happening.
Yay.
You know, it doesn't really mean it. It means, yeah, he's can take part in team activities, which he won't. You know, they can start working out. They have their voluntary workout starting Monday. He's not going to show up here and work out.
No.
You're not going to see that at all. You know, you brought this up before we went on the air about Russell Wilson. The Seahawks throwing out hints, their general manager, that they may let him walk. There's no way they're going to let that happen. They don't want to pay him $25 million. That's what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to give. They do in no way want to give him the big bucks. And but he's not going to go anywhere. This is the time of the year when you get all this posturing, and you get both sides. The thing with AP, I still think he's going to wind up in Dallas because I think the Cowboys will come up with a deal to make it work by draft night. If nothing happens draft night, he's not going anywhere. And then he's going to have to come to grips with the fact that he's a Viking, and he either shows up, or if he doesn't show up, he's got no recourse. He winds up getting fined and suspended. Basically, he's actually not even getting suspended. He's just getting fined for not showing up. It's a self-suspension. Do you really want to miss a year and not show up and play at all? That's just stupid. How about what Jordan Spieth did, by the way? No, he wins the Masters, 21 years old, does a great job. You figure he's got to be partying, you know, after that. And the next tournament he's in, he'd do lousy. And then he had first round yesterday at the RBC Heritage in Hilton Head, shoots a 3-over-74. Well, that's, you know, it's good. Masters win, probably living the good life, doesn't really care. Today he went out and shot a 9-under-62, which is the second lowest round ever at the Harbortown Golf Links. One shy of the record of 61 by David Frost in 1994. 9 birdies, no bogeys. That's not a bad comeback after a 3-over-74.
It turns out he's pretty good.
You think so?
He knows how to whack the ball towards a hole.
Yeah. See, I just thought he had 4 good rounds at the Masters. He got lucky. No, he is going to be, well, he already is. He's a terrific golfer. And he and Rory McIlroy have infused golf with a new excitement. Because those are the two guys people are going to be looking at primarily. And there's other young guys coming up. But those two have made and will make golf fun again for people and give them a reason to tune in, on particularly on Sunday afternoon for the final rounds.
The U.S. Open's the next major?
Yep.
What do you think he's going to do there? Because typically the U.S. Open's played at a course where you play to get pars.
The one thing that he may, if you watch, did you watch any of it?
The Masters?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, you watched the final round. On the back nine, now I didn't start following him because I was out doing stuff until the back nine. A lot of his drives were just off the fairway. You know what I mean? Where it wasn't, I mean, he was in the fringe, just off the fairway. In the U.S. Opens, if you're just off the fairway, you're not in like the pine needles or, you know, a little bit more, it's rough.
You're up to your neck.
Pretty much. So they make it a lot tougher at the U.S. Opens. The British Open, but you know what? He can play golf. He's still going to be pretty damn good at it. I don't have any doubt he's going to have a hell of a, what did he do at last year's U.S. Open? Do you know?
I do not.
Well, perhaps we should check at some point.
Well, now that he's turned a corner, it's going to be interesting to see what he does at a tough course like the U.S. Open's typically played at, and then the British Open when the conditions are always so
well, the weather, great. You know, it's always windy, but they don't really hit much. They don't see the kind of rough they do at a U.S. Open.
No, you just see 9-foot bunkers.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. You'll see that a little bit. Johnny Manziel apologizing. He vows to work hard to regain the trust of people. You know what he's hearing? Must be hearing that his team may move up to try to get Mariota. Yeah. Then he's done.
Nobody wants him.
Nobody will want him. Although,
he should apologize just for being him.
For being Johnny?
Yeah.
He's a kid. He's just, you know, he didn't take it seriously, and now he's paying the price. But there was some talk about Chip Kelly wanting him with the Eagles. He could probably run that offense.
Yeah, that'd probably work out.
That might be the type of offense he would need more than anything else. You know what? We got a jam-packed few hours for you. We are going to talk to, as I said, Tom Reed from the Wild Broadcast Team and Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. We've, of course, got D-Bag of the Day. Master Tesfatsian will join us from the Star Tribune. He's doing a series on potential draft picks, guys you want to keep an eye on. We got Ruth Lord and Jim Suhan will be with us. We have Twins tickets to give away. We also have some, we've got some other tickets too. If you like blues guitarists, matter of fact, if you like the blues, call us and we're going to do a threesome next. You answer one of the questions, you get the tickets to John
Bonamassa.
Bonamassa. And we'll give you all the details about John and his appearance coming up later this month. You don't want to miss it. We're going to be right back with 3 questions, 3 answers, the threesome.
The Bob Sansevier Show, only on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
3, oh, it's a magic number. Yeah, it is.
Buzz,
it's a magic number.
Almost made it.
A little Frankie Valli.
Somewhere in that ancient mystic trinity.
You got none? You gotta give me some.
Not on me.
You gotta give me something.
I'll see what I can do eventually.
It's Frankie Valli. We're watching Jersey Boys. It's not like it's a ridiculous request.
How do you spell it?
FrankieValli. 4 seasons. Frankie Valli.
L-L-I.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. You don't know how to spell Frankie Valli?
Say it one more time for me.
Frankie Valli?
Oh.
V-A-L-L-I, 4 seasons?
All right. I always thought it was V-A-L-L-E-Y.
Oh, my God. No, that's a different valley. It's the valley of death and other places you're going to find yourself in.
Yeah. That'll happen.
Yeah, that's right. What do you, you got some questions?
Absolutely.
Hello, Bob. I have 3 questions for you.
Wow.
Number one, after the Wilds Game 1 performance, how long do you think the series will actually last?
I don't know that St. Louis is going to win a game, But see, that makes me sound like I'm a homer and a big fan, and I'm not really a homer. People have been saying, I'm going with the five. I really think they're going to win this thing handily.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be as difficult as a lot of people thought it would be. I mean, it is going to be tough to match up and play this team over a seven-game series, but it's not going to go seven.
Well, and also, you know, the big move, now two of the goals were empty netters, but it backfired on Hitchcock, you know, going with Allen as his goaltender. Now, you know, he played good, but he didn't play, both of them played good. Neither goaltender obviously was great.
And did you see Hitchcock's face when Dumba fired one in?
He was none too happy.
I think there were some expletives going on.
What are those? Somebody put on, I think it was on Twitter. How does he skate on the ice? Somebody said, wondered if he took a little rascal on the ice with like ski runners. How does he get around? Because, I mean,
I think he just rolls.
Well, but I mean, he's a man of, what would they call it? Regal. Because back in the day, that's what all the kings looked like.
Portly.
You know, we're going to talk about some of that too, by the way, when we get to our D-bag of the day. Our friend, our new friend, Britt McHenry.
Yeah.
The ESPN loudmouth. She's got the Obesity Action Coalition coming after her now for her little comment about lose some weight, baby girl. This woman, maybe, and we're going to talk, like I said, we'll talk about a D-bag of the day, but I will say this. Maybe the biggest difference of beauty on the outside and absolute ugliness on the inside.
I mean, it's a real Beauty and the Beast story going on.
Very much a Beauty and the Beast story. There's that, what was that movie with Jack, you know, these guys I'm talking about, Jack Black?
Oh, Jack Black, not this guy.
You can't handle the truth.
No. It was Jack Black where he was duped by
Shallow Hal.
Thank you, Shallow Hal, where he actually saw what the people were like, what their inner beauty and inner ugliness was.
Yeah.
That's
very interesting.
Yeah, this one would look, if you turned Britt McHenry inside out, she'd look like a gargoyle. That's how ugly she is on the inside. So anyway, I digress. Question number two.
Number two. The Twins' bats came alive yesterday. Uh-huh. Was week one just a fluke?
Come again?
What was that? Was week one just a fluke?
Oh, was week one just a fluke? No, I don't think so. There are going to be times when the Twins, I mean, there is young talent there, and it has to be a confluence of the hitting and the pitching. Now that they have Cy Malone pitching for him, 2-0.
I've heard he's okay. And he's our fourth starter, by the way.
Yeah, well, you know, it's not going to stay okay. He's not going to have, you know, he's not going to contend for Cy Young. I was kidding there, of course. No, but there are.
You don't know that.
You're right. I don't know that. I could be wrong. Watch him. He'll go 25-2 with a, you know, a 1-1 ERA.
Boom.
Boom.
Soft tossing lefty.
Yeah.
Does it again.
Cy Young Award winner. Tommy Malone. I don't think that's going to happen. But no, you know what? I'm not. I thought before they went into the season, they had Santana, they had a shot at flirting with 500 or maybe even going in a game or two above. But without Santana, it just makes it much more difficult, you know, taking away a PED-addled pitcher. That hurts them.
They're going to need a couple of their starting pitchers to step up, not look so terrible. And
yes.
14 hits in a game doesn't hurt either.
No, and that's the other thing. The bats have to come. And you know what? Early in the season, too, Santana was doing nothing the first few games. Torrey Hunter's now in the number two spot, you know.
Yeah.
Now. I think that Mollett is also finding his way, too, of what works for him and what he likes. And I think some of these guys just said, you're dealing with a lot of young guys. And if you looked at the lineup yesterday's lineup, how many of the guys were actually starters at the beginning of the season for the first time in their careers? Vargas certainly was. Santana was.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, Mauer and Dozier and
I don't think Arcia.
I don't think so either. But I mean, I'm...
Arcia. You got to say
Arcia.
It right. Arcia.
Arcia. He's a pain in the Arcia. I could be overstating it, but I do think that could be some of it, too. I mean, you've gotten your big chance, and you're starting a season. It's different when you're plugged in late in the year.
And Jordan Schaefer's the other one. He wasn't a starter on our team last year. I don't know if he had ever started an opening day before.
Yeah, but there's
the Braves.
Yeah, but they. I mean, there are, again, there's a lot of young guys who it could have just taken them time to feel their way and get over the beginning of a season jitters, because there's a lot of pressure on these young guys to perform. And you know, and to, well, to stick around, too. They all want to perform, and they know that if they don't perform, they're not going to be here very long. I'm just thinking, like, Santana, no. Hunter, of course. Maurer, yes. Dozier, yes. Vargas, no. Eduardo Escobar, no. Schaefer, not sure. Suzuki, obviously. Shane Robinson, I think, no. I mean, they had several guys in there that just weren't, you know, they were not regulars. So I don't know if that has anything to do, but it could when you're new to the whole thing. You got a Q3? Question number three.
And lastly, the Gophers football coaches have been experimenting and studying a no-huddle offense. Is it a good idea for the team going forward?
A no-huddle offense is a good idea if you get yardage. It's all a matter of how you run it and how, you know, can Leidner run it and how well does he run it. I don't think the no-huddle's a bad idea because defenses, they need a chance to get set. I mean, that's how, why it's successful for a lot of teams. They catch the defense off guard.
But apparently Matt Leinbrover and Jerry Kill have been studying no-huddle offenses for the past several seasons.
And they're ready now to
try and implement it. And how much do you think that's really going to work with their power run style play off the play action offense?
Well, I think they have a better chance of it running because Leidner can run the ball. I mean, that's a big part of it, obviously. You have to have a quarterback who can move and run. And he can run.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably a better part of his game than his passing.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, the thing is, because we got to know some of these guys and we talked to Leidner a few weeks ago. I mean, Max Williams was in a lot, several times last year with us, and David Cobb's been on with us. You know, guys that have left, you know, we had Josh in here, but they're their new right guard. They're nice kids. They're likable kids. So I hope it does work for them. And that's just another, and it would have been foolish for them not to look into it. It's another part of their offense or another part of the game that could be helpful to them.
It's when it gets down to crunch time, a 2-minute drill, what are you running? No huddle offense. So yeah, having it already in your arsenal.
Anytime. And also it throws the other team off because you always have to be aware it could happen. And when it does, a lot of teams, I mean, it is tough for a defense to adjust to that. Especially if it gets going. Now, if you get stopped, you know, at the line or behind the line three straight times, then it doesn't really work so well. I think that it's really any team that's not making that an option for you to put in, I think you're doing yourself and your team a disservice. You should always be able to run it. And they do, like you said, 2-minute offense is a hurry up. That's what when have you watched it and it didn't work with teams? It's usually, it works, seems to work more than it doesn't.
Yeah.
But also, the offenses, there's a finite amount of, they can't do it. You know, a lot of these teams, they could not do it on every down either.
Typically, when I think of a no-huddle offense, I think of something, a spread style, where they're coming up and they're just going to keep slinging. But we're going to keep up, we're keep coming up and just running.
Well, slinging is great, but running is it has to be an option to it, too.
If it works,
yeah,
go for it.
Well, Leidner can run. That's the thing about him.
And Kill's already kind of taken the next step for this program, and they're becoming much better, at least competitive in the Big Ten. They almost won the West last year. So adding something else to continue the progress.
Why not?
It's a good idea.
Why the heck not? You know what? As a matter of fact, now the next thing he needs to do is to have, he needs to run it like the old single wing so that you've got a few guys that could throw the ball besides just the quarterback. You know, in the single wing, it wasn't the quarterback who threw the ball. It was the tailback. You're looking at me like you're dumbfounded.
I'm thinking you're going back to a time where they still wore leather helmets.
That's a single wing. Although, Mattawan, New Jersey, one of the last, I think it was the last or one of the last two high schools anywhere in the country in the 70s and into the 80s still ran the single wing. And it worked. I mean, the team was good every year because nobody, I mean, you never practiced against it. The only time you practiced was the week going into it. This guy had incredible tailbacks. And the tailback, phenomenal runner and a pretty darn good passer, too. Quarterback was just off to the side of the center calling the play, and he was a blocker.
Well, wouldn't that still be our quarterback in the single wing? Because Mitch Leidner's basically like a running back.
Well, he'd be the tailback.
Kind of
built
like one.
Yeah, he would be your guy. But, I mean, you could flip it to other guys, too. The quarterback occasionally can throw. But anyway, let's take a break because we got Tom Reed to talk to. Now, Tom is, hopefully he's not on a bus. He said if he's on a bus, we'll talk to him in the next segment, but because practice was, I think, at 1. And we'll come back, though. We'll have Tom Reed. We'll hope to have Tom Reed. Not, we'll go a little D-bag, then we'll come back with Tom Reed. But he will talk to us today. Tom Reed from the Wild Broadcast Team and Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. We'll be right back.
Later today on Radioactive Sports with the superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson at 4.
Take that, St. Louis. Come join the superstar and me today from 4 to 7 at the office on Washington just down the street from Target Field. We aren't celebrating, but we're excited.
Let's go right to our guest, because he has to get on a bus soon. Our guest, Tom Reed from the Wild Broadcast Team, Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. Tom, as soon as you have to go, just let us know. But did last night's game, did it suggest to you this could be a quicker series than we were thinking? Is Tom there?
Should be.
I hear traffic.
He set his phone down.
Oh.
Maybe.
Well, maybe he'll come back to it. Well, put it on. Put him on hold. Ben, hold on and tell us when he gets back. I know he is. He just went to the Wild practice, and he had to get on. Okay, here we go. We're back now with. Hey, Tom, thanks for taking a few minutes. When you have to go, just let us know. I just wanted to get your thoughts on last night's game, and if you think it'll go fewer games than we were talking about yesterday after that first win. Let's put him on hold again.
Hello.
Oh, there you are, Tom. Tom.
That's what you guys are doing, but I'm not hearing a thing.
Oh, can you hear us now? No, you know what, Ben? Tell him that's fine, because I don't want to keep doing this to him. That's not fair. We'll answer for him. I thought it would go, I think it's going to be a quicker series than we imagined. That's something that we had talked about after watching last night. Very impressive. He said he's, what? Ben is pointing to the, oh, Tom, are you on? Can you hear us now? Hello?
No.
Okay. We've had some technical difficulties in the building starting last night, and they weren't all phone-related. So, anyway, thank you to Tom Reed for attempting to get on with us. Tom Reed from the Wild Broadcast Team and Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. I'm sure what he would have said is he was impressed with the performance of the team.
I agree.
They're a scrappy bunch of lads. Probably would have said that. You know, he expects them to be fired up and ready to go in game two.
Something about socking him in the mouth.
Sock him in the mouth. Smack him upside the head. Don't go too high with the stick. No, Tom's a great guy, and he's very, he's a lot of fun. He's a very funny man, too. I mean, he's got a great sense of humor. I'm guessing everybody's feeling pretty darn good out in St. Louis.
Everybody? Even the St. Louis fans?
No, I meant everybody from Minnesota. How many? There were like flight loads of people going. Right, that went to St. Louis. No, we were hearing about a lot of people at the airport that they were going to go and watch the games. Which, if you're the St. Louis Blues, it's a little alarming that you're letting people from the other team buy tickets. You know what I mean? That you're not like snapping them all up and watching your team.
Isn't that the same thing that Vikings fans do when the Packers come to town?
Well,
like, here are my tickets. Give me thousands of dollars.
Well, dummy. You know, maybe that could be it too. Maybe they were being sold, but. Have you ever done anything like that?
No.
You know, on a whim, go to another city because you want to see your team play?
No. Haven't done it.
Would you be tempted if there was a game 7?
Of course.
So I have to find somebody to sit in for you if there's a game 7?
I don't know if anybody could really take my place.
Oh, yeah, but, I think we could. I think we could look into it, Wally Pip.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah, I didn't think you would. But it was an impressive performance. And by the way, if you want to weigh in on last night's game, the number to call is 651-989-9105. 651-989-9105. And now, have you made plans? I know you mentioned your roommates weren't around. You're going to watch the game tomorrow night, or you're busy?
The second I'm out of here, I'm going to go home and plop down on the couch and wait for it to start.
Second night you're here of the night, you're going to just set the TV for tomorrow and stay there for the next 24 hours?
I got to be back here tomorrow morning.
So you mean the second you leave here tomorrow is what you're saying? All right.
You got a big two-hour on-the-ice show tomorrow, Pete Wagner and Chad Graff talking hockey.
You think maybe the Wild will come up?
I think they will. Oh, I know we got a couple of guests. We got a beat writer for the Oilers who is covering the Wild Blues matchup because Canada is awesome. Of course, that's what Chad told us.
What does that mean?
Even though the reporter only covers the Oilers when it's playoff time, they send the reporters out to cover other games even if their team didn't make the playoffs.
And this is the series that they picked.
Yeah, so they sent their guy to St. Louis to cover the games, so we're going to have him on. I know we're going to have the Capitals beat writer. We're going to have a lot of different hockey writers to talk a lot of NHL playoffs.
A lot of hockey, a lot of puck heads.
Yes.
To talk the game. Well. Well, good for them. That'll be interesting.
And then 2 in the afternoon, I'm sure we'll all be in our homes or bars or wherever you're going to watch the game. I'll be ready.
They're doing it again tomorrow night, right? I mean the Wild, I'm sure they're going to open up the X again for people to watch.
I think so.
Okay.
I think that's for all games.
All the road games.
Yeah.
It's a great idea.
Yeah.
You know, actually, I always thought that that's something that the Vikings should have done. Every indoor team, if they're any good. Now, you do it for the Timberwolves, who's going to show up. But, you know, the Vikings should do it.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
Yes.
Do you think more people would show up for a road game than show up for a home game? Because I think it might be close.
For the Twins?
If you know Twins
what,
or Timberwolves.
You know what, though? Oh, Timberwolves, if you were to do it, well, for the Timberwolves in particular, if you did it and you had, like, really cheap beer, yeah, they'd show up. If the beers were cheaper than they would be if you went to a restaurant or bar, absolutely they'd show up.
Well, now that you put it that way, I'd be there.
Yeah. I've always wondered why. Well, here's the things that I think that the that Vikings, new Vikings stadium, because it is indoors, they should do that. They should offer the road games and put them on, because they're going to have wonderfully big screens. But why not open them up for that, for games when they're road games, and let people come in and open a few concessions. Let them watch. I actually might do that.
Yeah.
Watch on the, you know, that gargantuan screen that they have. That would be fun.
They've got two big screens going in there.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be great. I mean, actually, the screens they had in the Metrodome after they, the final few years of the Metrodome, those were pretty impressive, too. But I always thought that the Metrodome, and this one, too, you gotta make a deal with one of the casinos to put slot machines around the concourse. And when there's games and stuff going on, you just, you know, you shutter them. You put a canvas on them and lock them up. But otherwise, have them open so people can come and play the slots. That would be making good use of that state. It would pay for itself. You leave the concessions open. You got the slot machines going.
If concessions are open and they're at a discounted price for away games, I have nothing better to do on Sundays. I'm there.
Oh, they'd never discount it for away. You'd be paying the same price. But you know what? It's actually, I was going to say, how much more is it than if you went to a... It's a lot more than if you went to a restaurant. You're right. They'd have to have a little bit less price if you're coming in. But open,
or at least if they were selling tickets to it and not just letting people in to buy stuff.
Well, even if you charge a couple of bucks, because then you keep out the riffraff.
Yeah.
And you
nobody likes that riffraff.
You would be riffraff, too, by the way.
So they're not even going to let me in?
You and your ilk coming in there and messing with things. But I do think they should make use of it. You know what? Then they can maybe raise some money and build a soccer stadium, too.
Inconceivable!
You looking forward to that? You going to go to those?
I might go check out a couple games. I only really get into the World Cup.
You really are a soccer fan.
Well... I don't know if you could call me much of a soccer fan if I'm only really watching soccer every 4 years. A lot, anyway.
I will say this. It is a lot easier to follow a soccer ball on a, you know, on a smaller TV than a hockey puck.
Yeah.
You know, so there is that.
And it's a game, soccer's a game that's just really easy to follow in general, because there's like two rules. There's offsides, and then here's a yellow card or a red card.
How old were you?
Offside, no hands.
How old were you when they had like the beeping puck? Remember they tried that for a while?
Puck.
They had like it was a beeping puck or like a light, a puck that lit up. They tried that for a while. It didn't go very well.
I remember having a light up street puck.
I thought there was something where they tried it in an exhibition game or something. Now we'll have to look that up. Light up puck and see. It's years and years ago, but it obviously never caught on.
I think if you type in light up puck, you're going to see a puck that's just been given the hammer from Dumba.
Well, you can get one from the Sears.com. You can find one, but that's not what I was. That's not what I was thinking about. Well, we'll check into that later. If anyone remembers anything, or maybe I dreamed it. 651-989-9105 is the number. And you could call, by the way, at any time about anything sports related, because we want to hear from you, the listener, the fan.
Me?
No, not you.
Because I was listening to you just now.
We hear plenty from you. You're that's right. Wait. You're actually listening for a change? How novel is that?
Well, just mention Frankie Valli and I'll tail off again.
Yeah, okay. Get him on. Okay, so let's see who's there. Hit the button. Let's go rogue here. Who's this, please?
Is this KK?
Who is it?
Hello?
Yeah, hey, how you doing? How are you? Can you
hear?
Something's wrong with our phones.
That's what I think.
So, in other words, we won't have any guests today.
We don't know that.
Well, I'm taking a guess that we couldn't get Tom Reed to... We can hear them, but they can't hear us.
We've got multiple lines we can try out.
We'll try this guy again, see if he can hear us. Hi there.
See, can you? Line one works.
Line one, can you hear us? Hello? Now, this is
That's just nothing. Wonderful. But anyway.
This is going to be a fun day. No, it doesn't
really,
work.
You can't be serious.
I think we are serious. Well, first of all, it's not going to work then. When we call someone, it doesn't work when someone calls in.
Should we tell them all just to show up here and walk
tell
right
them to
back
drive
to
on down?
Studio? Yeah.
Look at the thing. The phones are lit up. Yeah, we announced we can't hear anybody, and the phones light up. Okay, Brian's in here. He's going to fix things. We're going to take a quick break when we get back. Little D-bag. A lot of D-bag of the day. And the name Britt McHenry may show up again. We'll be right back.
The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, only on 105 The Ticket.
Joey Logano just screams out into the lead, but Murray's blocking the second. Matt Kenseth and Kevin Harvick side by side for first.
The world's fastest half mile, the Food City 500 from Bristol Motor Speedway. Tune in for live coverage Sunday morning at 11.
That's the battle for the lead in turn one.
This is Brad Keselowski.
This is Dylan Hart Jr.
This is Jeff Gordon.
This is Jimmy Johnson.
This is Kevin Harvick.
Your home for NASCAR in the Twin Cities is Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. Now back to the Bob Sansevier Show. Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
D-bag, D-bop-bop, D-bag, D-bop-bop, D-bag, D-bop-bop, D-bag, D-bag.
This is not Frankie Valli.
It isn't?
Wait a minute, wait. No. You son of a gun. All right, let's go to line one, because we do have... Thank you for calling, and you're going to explain to us, and you... About the when I had talked about the light up puck, what was it that you remember?
This was a long time ago. I'd say at least 10 years ago. But when hockey was on Fox on the television, the puck would glow red, and then whenever it was passed or shot, there would be a little red tail after it.
That was I'm calling something. It was a Fox Tracks glowing puck, and was it a laser that followed the puck, or was it? It was nothing in the puck itself, right?
No, it was just something graphics wise to where. When you saw it on television, the puck would glow red, and then you could technically, I suppose, see it better, but you didn't really need it.
But then it started melting the ice?
No, yeah, went through it. There's I came across a story here. Actually, Ben sent it to me, who's helping us out on the phones. Here's lame puck. Was Fox's glowing puck the worst blunder in TV sports history, or just ahead of its time? Well, what did you think? Because I vaguely remember it.
I suppose if you're a novice viewer and you have a tough time following the puck, it might help, but I just thought it was a bad gimmick.
Right? Yeah, remember what was it, CBS or NBC? This goes back a long time when they had, remember it was like the final weekend of the NFL season, they had no announcers? Do you remember?
Right. Yeah, and I know that had been done before, I think in the 80s or so.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That didn't catch either.
No.
Yeah, that was not gonna catch on. Well, I really appreciate you, you calling and helping us out with that. Please continue doing that, because believe me, there'll be plenty of times when we could use a little help here.
No problem at all, Bob. I'm missing you in the paper.
I am in once a week.
Oh, good.
And, because I went to part time at the paper when I started doing this, and if you want to, actually, I write every day, not necessarily about sports. I've got a blog, thebsblog.com, so you can check out some of the stuff there. I try to have fun with that and not keep it too serious.
Oh, what does the
really
BS stand
Kim
for?
Layton, he was a tremendous prep writer for the Pioneer.
Yeah, absolutely he was.
He's going to have a great job with the
State High School League.
Right?
Yeah, I talked to him after he got the job. It's he was as good as they get when it comes to... Actually, the guy he went to work with, John Millay, who'd been at the Star Tribune, both of those guys were great high school reporters and writers. They gave you stories that you wouldn't see otherwise, because they really took the job seriously.
Yep, I've interviewed them both on many occasions, and they're both super gentlemen, and I agree 100%.
Yeah, they're really good guys. But thank you for that. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
All right, take care. And by the way, the BS stands for Bob Sansevier. Occasionally, bull stuff.
Stuff.
Yeah, we'll keep it stuff. It's a family. It's a family station. So, anywho, we were talking about our gal, Britt McHenry. We talked about her yesterday. She's the one. You still have it? Can you call that up?
I'll find it.
When Britt was Britt had a car towed, she was not happy with the parking lot attendant, a young lady who we didn't see on camera or really hear on camera. But Britt, as I described her earlier, beautiful on the outside. Turn her inside out, she looks like a gargoyle. But here, let's hear Britt.
Yep, that's all you care about, is just taking people's money.
with no education, no skill set. Do you feel good about your job? So I could be a college dropout and do the same thing? Why have to grow the brain and you don't? Maybe if I was missing some teeth, they would hire me home. Lose some weight, baby girl.
Lose Some Weight, Baby Girl is what got the Obesity Action Coalition to weigh in on this, the OAC. Now, as a fella who can stand to lose an ounce or two, well, more than two.
Me?
I'm, oh. No, you scrawny thing.
You were looking at me.
I'm with the OAC on this one. She needs to apologize. She did throw something out on her Facebook and, on her Twitter saying she was sorry, but she needs to personally go back and apologize to this woman or young, I don't know if it was a young woman or how old she was, but the woman who she said all the berated the way she did. I mean, it was, and also, how dumb are you, Brit? It's like that, who was the, what's the guy's name? Randy Gregory, the guy who didn't know that if you smoked dope within 6 weeks of the combine, it's going to show up?
Yeah.
You're in television. How do you not know that, you know, that you're going to be on video and it's going to be taped? She was even told in it that they were videoing her. Let's go to line one here. Hello?
Brian in Minneapolis.
Brian, how are you?
Hey, Bob.
How are you? Good.
I don't know this person from Adam, believe it or not. I mean, I've never even seen her before till the news today when they're talking about it. And they were saying that, you know, there might have been something that prompted the incident. I'm not excusing it. You know, it was terrible what she was saying. But the tow truck company isn't releasing the full video or what might have prompted it or what the other people might have been doing in the background to, you know, take it along a little bit.
Well, but what we did hear, though, I mean, the woman, when we were listening, did not respond at all, or very little. The only thing I think the woman said, the woman that worked for the parking lot, was that she's being videotaped. Because she said about, you know, being on television, well, you're on video. She made a comment about that. So she did tell her that she was on video.
Yeah, I understand, Bob, but they wouldn't release the, you know, the video what people might have been doing in the background. I'm not, like I said, I'm not excusing it, but, you know, she may be only half the bag, and the other, you know, party might be a little bit there too.
Well, you know what, and that is possible, but what we heard of her is enough to put her in the D-bag category.
Yeah.
You know,
I was going to say too that I cannot stand these apologies that these people make. I mean, is there a lawyer in the background holding up cue cards or whatever? It just, once I'd like to hear somebody sincerely apologize for something. You know, just they're these apologies that these athletes and media people are doing, they're just worthless. They're not even worth the words coming out of their mouths.
Well, you know, actually, what I'd like to see is the one who says, you know what? I said it. I meant it. I'm not apologizing. We never see that, but she's doing it because she was suspended by ESPN for a week, and she's lucky that's all she got.
Right.
You know, I said yesterday that this should have nothing to do with her job, but when I did see the video, I sort of tilted the other direction.
It is kind of funny how those crafted responses always seem to come out. Why don't they just come out and say, I'm sorry, I was acting like a D-bag. Like, that's all you really need to say.
Yeah, and people would let it go. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, all of us know, like I said, could you imagine yourself doing something like that, berating somebody publicly?
Talking to Brian?
No, I'm talking to Brian,
I've been berated like that, but never done it to anybody else, so.
What were you berated like that for? By who? Or what was the circumstance?
I was a process server. So.
Oh my God!
You brought it on yourself.
Wait a minute. Yeah, so Brian, that was a daily occurrence then.
Yeah. Well, not quite that bad, but there were instances that were probably worse than that. I had my life threatened and
Wow. Well, you know, and you're just the messenger, though. I mean, it's not like. All you're doing is your job.
Yeah, I had to serve a guy divorce papers at his office on Christmas Eve at the Christmas Eve party. So it was interesting experiences. But, I mean, I was as nice as possible about it. I wasn't a jerk, but I got it back several times. So.
Now, did you ever try to go undercover with it and be like a pizza delivery guy? Or what are some of the things you tried?
Oh, there was one instance where I had to get a person served over on Marshall Street in St. Paul in one of those big houses. And he wouldn't answer the door, and the deadline was coming up for the legal case. And I called his number on the phone and told him that I was driving by the house, and I saw the roof of his house was on fire. And he come running out of the yard, and I've done the pizza box delivery many times.
So, with the pizza box, did you, like, open it, and there was the summons? Is that how you did it?
Yeah, exactly. Walked up there with an empty pizza box, and I had one person tell me, well, at least he could have done is brought me a pizza with him.
Oh, that's terrific. So, I mean, did you, how long did you do it? You don't still do it, do you?
Oh, no, I did it for about 12 years. It was just one part of my job, but, you know, most of the people were decent about it, but some were, you know, it kind of, you know, made your day when you had interesting experiences, so.
Oh, well, you know what? Stay with me for one second. I'm going to give you one more candidate here before we take a break. Adrian Broner, boxer, had a DUI arrest in back in January in Ohio. He said he wasn't drunk, insisted he wasn't drunk to police, but then pointed out, wanted to make sure they knew he made $100 million in his career.
Oh.
So yeah, I would say, yeah.
Like that would have made a difference.
Yeah.
They would have just told him, okay, then you can pay all the penalties for it. You know, you get enough money, so.
Well, one of his comments was, y'all don't know who you arrested. If y'all did, I'd be on the news right now. What an idiot. You know who I do want to also mention? We do anti-D-bag, too. Nick Lowry, Hall of Fame. You know, he's a Hall of Famer with the Chiefs, one of their Hall of Famers. And there's a woman who's been a big Chiefs fan. I mean, she went to a lot of games. She's dying, older woman, dying. He went and visited her in the hospital because her dying wish was to see her Chiefs one more time. That's a great thing. He didn't have to do that, so I give him kudos. So it sort of washes away some of the people like would like Britain, the Inside Out gargoyle, and Broner, people like that. Hey, thanks so much for calling. I love the stories about the process survey. That's wonderful.
Thanks, Bob.
All right, take it easy. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we return, we will talk to Master Tetzvatsin from the Star Tribune. He's been doing a series of stories about players to watch in the draft, and we're going to talk to him about that and a little AP talk, too. When we get back with Master Tesfatsian.
Three signals strong. 105 The Ticket.
You better hope he likes this. We're joined by Master Tesfatsian from the Star Tribune. Master, are you okay with that?
Oh, man, I love that, man. That gets me in the mood. That gets me in the mood, man.
Just want to make sure. Just want to be sure you're okay. If you're not okay with it, he needs to find something you like.
No, that's the track right there. That's what you got to leave it at.
All right, you got to make sure you lock that one in for next time, too. Now, Master, before we talk about the series you're doing in the Star Tribune, how do you think the AP thing's going to play? I mean, today's reinstated. It doesn't mean anything today, really, but will he be traded? What's your gut and the information you have? What do you think?
I mean, like you said, it doesn't mean anything today. Most people are going to hype up on Monday when the Vikings report to off-season workouts, you know, whether, you know, Peterson show up. It's voluntary. It's a volunteer basis, so it's not going to affect his pay.
He's not coming.
There's really not much. There's no reason for him to come.
No.
And same with OTAs. It's a volunteer basis as well. The only time it'll start mattering is when minicamp starts up in June, and that's when, obviously, his workout performance bonus will be in effect if he does not show up. The biggest date, I would say, obviously, is the draft. It's just, you just never know what's going to happen there, but it's so difficult for a team to try and trade such a big player, such a star like Adrian Peterson on draft day without any sort of physical, without even having a chance to talk to him. Like, everything has happened that night for it to, you know, for the trade to pull off. And I mean, that's pretty risky for a team to try and do that. Even though everyone knows, you know, how good Peterson is, you just, after a year laying off, I think he's going to have a great season. He's going to have a tremendous season coming up, this year. But you just never know what could happen, what could pop up, whether a medical exam that, you know, that you do not test for shows something up on Peterson that you don't get the chance to see when you're trying to make a trade on draft day. And also, you know, the salary is also another issue. What team's going to want to take that much money in?
Well, the Cowboys, I mean, we talked about that. We've talked about that where Tony Romo redoing his deal. He's basically making enough room for what, if the contract didn't trade or change, it would be pretty close to what his cap hit is. But you made a great point.
I still don't think the Cowboys, I don't think they'll make a move. I really don't. As much as, you know, they were looking in the market for a veteran running back. They signed McFadden. You know, you can think whatever you want of McFadden. But with that offensive line, I mean, they have a superb offensive line where they can get by with a McFadden and a running back in this draft. And you know, whether it be a Gordon or a Gurley or whoever, Ajayi, the Boise State guy, I like him a lot as well.
Yeah.
There's some backs in here that they can work with and still have a functional offense to work around with Tony Romo, to complement Tony Romo in the running game.
But why have a functional one when you can have Adrian Peterson going after the, you know, single season rushing record?
That's a good point. I mean, there won't be a better back next year than Adrian Peterson. I can assure you that.
No.
But again, it's all about the cost, you know, the cost of business. And the Cowboys have done things a lot differently this offseason where they're not, I mean, they made the Greg Hardy signing, which was, it seemed like just the Jerry Jones move, but everything else, it seems like has been a Stephen Jones type of mentality where they've been very, making cost-effective moves. And not necessarily just splurging for the sake of splurging.
Well, see, I think what's going to happen is that the Cowboys already know where they're going to go and how they haven't made their best offer yet. They'll wait till draft day. And maybe, you know, that first-round pick, it's in the 20s. It's not a great pick, you know, in terms of first-round. That ultimately, I think, is what the Vikings would do, right?
I think for the Cowboys, I think that's a great pick to take a running back. And people are going to always, you know, I hear people still tell me to this day, you shouldn't take a running back in the first round. Listen here, man. If you want to talk about special talent, Todd Gurley, whenever he gets back healthy from his torn ACL, he's going to be a special back. He's going to be a tremendous back in the NFL. There's all these questions whether he'll have the same burst, the same speed. I'll tell you, he's a special talent, and I'm banking that he will be fine with the modern technology and the way medicine is right now and the recovery, how far we've come as far as his ACL recovery times. I think Gurley will be fine.
You know what, though, Master, talking to Master Tesfatsian from the Star Tribune, I just, one of the mock drafts, I think it was USA Today's from a couple of days ago, they had him going like sixth. They got Gurley going real early, which is...
Hey, I can justify it. Honestly, I could. People are going to think of me as crazy because, again, with the ACL thing, and he's a running back. If he was healthy, he'd be a top 10 pick, no question.
Yeah, you're right.
I'd even say maybe even top five. If a team in the top 10 thinks that, you know, that they're going to bank on that he's going to be healthy just like I am, I'd say do it, too.
Well, you know, I want to go back to a point you made, which is actually a hell of a point, about if you made a trade for AP, you're right. You could make – a lot of trades are contingent on the guy being healthy. Well, what do? If you've traded your first-round pick, they have AP, you're making the pick. How do you make that right? You wind up getting a guy you might not even want.
It obviously won't be official until the next day, but, yeah, the terms and the conditions of the trade have already been finalized and settled on, so – you're just going to have to deal with it, whatever it might be, because, you know, the year before Peterson left, obviously with all the groin issues and, you know, some of the things that he cleaned up in his knee, no one knows, you know, how he is in that point and that perspective, or, you know, maybe if he had any other procedure on all those things. Obviously, it's all speculation, but you just don't know what could pop up and what Peterson still has lingering or what he's gone through or what he's maybe had a little minor setback on. You just never know.
No, yeah, and that's really a good point about it. If you're there's no medical record of him being looked at by any team doctors over the last year, other than going into last season.
He's an MIA. That's the thing. And no one knows. And so you're also having to bank on that. But, I mean, as we've said, I mean, it doesn't matter what Peterson did. Those minor issues, as we saw him go through that groin issue and he still ran for, 1,300 yards, I think it was. And we were all talking about how, you know, it wasn't the same Peterson. We didn't see the same burst from Peterson. But he still was second in the league, I think, behind McCoy in rushing yards that year. That's the kind of talent we're talking about here.
No, when he plays and when he's even close to healthy, there's nobody better.
Yeah.
We're watching, you know, and you're a lot younger than me, but even in your lifetime, you may be watching right now the greatest running back to have played the game and certainly a guy in the top five and a greatest quarterback. And I don't know which quarterback I'd identify. You know, is it Brady? Is it Manning? I mean, who's the guy that you would say is the greatest of? I think Montana was. You know, I put him right up there. But you can make arguments for those two guys.
For me personally, Favre was my favorite I've ever watched.
Well, and you saw him too. There's another one.
Favre
and Rodgers,
phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rodgers. Honestly, he's going to be up there too. Rodgers is fantastic to watch. But for me, Brady is probably going to take over all that. I feel like just Brady's career, just being able to see where it's come from and where it is now, it's unbelievable. It's phenomenal. I don't think he gets as much credit as people are trying to, because of Bill Belichick, people don't give him enough credit for how good he is. And obviously you've got another great quarterback in Peyton Manning who's, you know, statistically just off the charts as well. But I feel like people underrate, I'm glad Tom Brady won the Super Bowl so people can remember that he is